Welcome to Sundays at Sarah. It's me, Miriam.
It's me, Sarah.
And it's me, Marissa.
Okay, so today we have a topic, and then we're going to talk about our relationships and how we handle relationships as artists. But first, we're going to talk about some art news that came upon, and Marissa's going to tell us a little bit about that.
So, while I was at work this past week, I was scrolling on Instagram, and I saw that Solange, her Instagram is at Saint Records, had released the full list of select film screenings for her. It's like a visual film that pairs with the album mm-hmm. When I Get Home, which I loved the album so much. And I love Solange, and I loved A Seat at the Table, too. So I was really, really excited when I saw the list. I was kind of confused at first. I thought, like, she was going on tour, and then, like, I saw that it was this film screening that was paired with the album. And a lot of these performances are in collaboration with museums, art museums, and art foundations, which is really, really cool. So, like, a couple of places she's going to go to are the Brooklyn Museum, the LACMA, Los mm-hmm. Angeles. What is that? LACMA is what? Los Angeles County Art Museum.
Yeah, it's county.
Or Museum of Art. Okay, yeah. So she's also going to... So she's going to be at the Brooklyn Museum, the Los Angeles Museum of Art, and she's going to end the tour film screening, if uh-huh. you will, mm-hmm. at the Chinati Foundation in Marfa, Texas, which is just a few short hours away from where we're at. So we're mm-hmm. all planning on going. It's happening during Chinati weekend, right?
Yeah, it's going to be October. The screening is October 13th, but that weekend from, like, what, the 11th, 12th, and 13th is Chinati weekend.
And what goes on during Chinati weekend? I've never gone, guys. Even though we live so close, I've never been to Chinati, never been to Marfa. But Miriam and Sarah have gone a couple times. Mm-hmm. Lucky them. And they volunteered through
school
during Chinati weekend. So what normally happens?
So the Chinati Foundation partners up with the UTEP with the UT system. So that's UT Austin, UTEP, UT El Paso. And I think it's only the two of us, or is there's a third one, right?
UT. It's
San Marcos?
Whatever.
Or
the one that's by, like, an Alpine, or...
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. There's, like, maybe, like, three schools.
Oh, Sol Ross?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sol Ross, okay. Mm-hmm. So, Sol Ross, UTEP, and UTA?
UT. Is it SA? No, yeah. It's
UTA.
It's Austin. Yeah, it's Austin.
Well, the Chinati Foundation partners up with them to bring over students. They don't necessarily have to be art students, just students that are willing to help out during this weekend of an open house. So anyone in the world, people from all over the world, go to the Chinati Foundation. It's a foundation founded by Donald Judd. Not contemporary, he's
minimalist
artist. I was gonna say modern minimalist artist, and he invited Dan Flavin,
Carl Andre.
What's the woman artist who did the, like,
the lines or
the copper stuff?
Horn, no, that's not Horn. Damn, her name is on the tip. See, do you remember that episode where we couldn't think of anyone's name or female?
Oh
names?
My god, all the females,
yeah. I know her name. Horn. Van Horn. No, that's the place. Van Horn.
Van Horn, Texas.
Oh, Robert Irwin is one of them?
Yeah, Robert Irwin.
Let me see.
What's the female one?
I really liked her stuff when we were going
over
the
copper,
what Chinati has.
The copper vessels in the room. Pause for her name. Well, are you looking for her name?
I'm looking for the collection. There's, like, a... But didn't they have that girl that had the lines? And she did, like, a...
Oh, it is! It's Horn! Ronnie Horn! That's her name! I was right! Not Van,
Van Horn.
It's not Van Horn, it's Ronnie Horn. That's the artist that did the copper vessels.
And everything that's on-site is considered minimalist art, right? Or...
It's during the minimalist art movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, so minimalist art...
So it's just a giant compound with a bunch of different minimal art
mm-hmm.
on display.
And they're permanent. So it's not like your usual
rotating
gallery where
gallery,
they're rotating.
Yeah.
They only have like one space that does rotate, and that one had what's her name?
The illusions, right?
Points.
Touches wall. The girl with the illusions. I can't remember.
I know
her name. Yeah.
The striped stripes. And her name is like
Betsy.
Severe. No, it's not Betsabe. That's Betsabe.
No, I said Betsy.
Betsy?
It's like something like that.
Her name is I just remember her name being like, it's not Talba Auerbach. No. It's like something like that. Bridget Riley.
Yeah, Bridget Riley. See, I knew it was like Betsy, Bridget.
No, it's Bridget Riley, and
like
I did not Google it from my brain. Bridget
so, Trinati is a permanent art compound that features the work of Donald Judd,
mm-hmm.
along with other minimalist artists, and people visit from all over the world, like you said, to go see this work.
It's
these are really big names in art and history.
It's a very big deal, and they need help to make sure that nobody's touching or damaging the art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Miriam and I have gone to help out in the aluminum boxes, in the trails, and in just in the little spaces that they have there. And so Solange, back to Solange, she had a performance there.
What was it, 2016 or 2017? I think it was 2017, the scales performance.
Yeah, 2017 scale. It was very last minute that she announced it, huh? Or, like, not many people knew?
I don't think anybody knew. I don't think she announced it, like, publicly. But, when on the volunteer sheet, it said Solange. But I don't think she told anybody. Like, she didn't tell anybody on her Instagram or anything like that.
I think only people in Marfa knew.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever had connections. But we were able to go. She had...
Miriam and Sarah were able to go. Biggest regret of my life, you guys. That I didn't go to this Trinati weekend, and I didn't see the performance because I love Solange so much. And I remember when A Seat at the Table came out, and I was so excited, and I was always talking about Cranes in the Sky to everybody, and Mad and Don't Touch My Hair, and I just felt like she's such a beautiful person and she's doing so many wonderful things. And Sarah and Miriam got to go.
She was like a few feet from
us.
Yeah,
she was
too.
Very close.
She was dancing in heels. She ran across the
all of them
the
are
area.
Wearing like pink and fuchsia, right?
Yes.
Yeah, very bright.
And everyone that was an audience was supposed to wear white, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What a wonderful, wonderful
thing. There was like one person that just wore all black. Do you remember seeing her?
No.
I saw her. She just went all into this. But whatever. To each their own. But the thing that really stood out to me in that performance was just that perfect lean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like she's so, like, in her choreography, like, even the bits that she's kind of teased on her Instagram for When I Get Home, and even if you go on Spotify and you, like, click on the When I Get Home album, it'll play little snippets of movement and scenes, I think, from the film. It's all so intentional and, like, thoughtful, very slow movements, but it has such a big impact,
and
I love her work.
I think it's such a good, like, leeway to... Because she's kind of, like, an in-between. Because she is a performer and a musician. But also, this, like, action that she was doing at Trinati and that she's done at, like, the Guggenheim and the MoMA are, like, performance arts. And so it's, like, a little bit of both. And, like,
uh-huh.
I think people can appreciate that, like, this is a form of art. And, like, especially us, since we are artists, like, it's such a big thing to see such a, like, a large or well-known artist do something that involves art as
well. Even the themes that she uses kind of is a good dovetail for art themes, like, that has to do with home, that has to do with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the titles, we talked about the titles. I'm a huge fan of the titles of both the albums, the A Seat at the Table and When I Get Home, like, beautiful.
Yeah. I even wrote in our notes, welcome back to another recording session, ladies. Let's have a seat at the table, shall we? She's just so wonderful. And she works so hard, and she does so many things, like you mentioned. Like, I would love to be graced by her presence one day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully in October we could see her.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Well, we'll see the film.
Yeah. At the very least. But honestly, I feel like she was very taken by Trinati I was saying this earlier, but I would not be surprised if she showed up
because it's the last
during
stop.
The screening. Yeah, it's the last stop. It's just that day, the Trinity weekend. She knows there will be an audience there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hoping that she'll be there and to give like a little like Q&A maybe at the end
or a discussion.
I'm not saying that that's what's gonna happen, but I'm just hoping, and I would not be surprised if that happened.
Mm-hmm. And I think like also like if she does go to Trinity, it's because of the audience there. Like that's like the type of audience that she wants to reach out to, people
uh-huh.
who like and appreciate art and who understand the film, like who are not just going because it's someone famous
uh-huh.
or for Instagram, like to show people on Instagram, like but because that is like the audience that she wants to see.
And I was thinking a lot about audience and her performance during the scales, where she did the Don't Touch My Hair performance. And the audience, if you ever go to Trinity, it's predominantly white, if high middle class people, and
definitely
I'm a lot of like high class people
yeah.
who buy art.
Yeah, it's like they're, I think Trinity weekend or around that time, they're doing like a benefit dinner.
Yeah, they do.
And like the tickets are like $700, $800, or $600 if you're a member.
So audience is not only wearing all white, but a lot of the audience is also white. And when she did that song, and that, I think that's the song that she started going through the audience talking. And I just think it was such a powerful movement that she did, that she came towards our section, and there was a black woman there singing.
They had another black woman in the audience, and Solange was literally dancing next to her with her.
Yeah, they were like hugging each other. They were dancing, singing. And, like, I wanted to cry. It was so powerful.
They had a moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then I could see, because we were a little further back. We're, like, maybe within 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see, like, the audience want to, like, surge, like, get towards her. And everyone stepped back because they saw what was going on. She wasn't going to a white lady or, like, she went to the only black person that was right there in a crowd of white people. And even I wanted to go for it, but I'm like, wait.
Like,
it's not
our moment.
It's
no.
their moment. And it was so strong. I teared up during that. I was like, oh.
And it was just, like, such a nice thing
mm-hmm.
to have. Like, you know, if it wasn't for Trinity weekend, you have to ask yourself, would those, like, people who are Caucasian, would they listen to the album otherwise, or like, do they know who Solange is, or have they listened to that specific album
or that song?
Yeah. And so like for them to hear that song coming from her, it was just like, that's right, like listen to the song, listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, very powerful. So like that relationship that she has with the audience.
Speaking of relationships,
it leads into
our main topic, which is having and maintaining relationships as an artist.
Real smooth guy. I love that one. I love that transition. But, we did kind of talk about before starting this episode, because when we were planning and we said, relationships as artists, or like being in a relationship with an artist, that was kind of our initial thought, I think, when we wrote this topic down. So immediately when we think of that, we think about dating or your significant others, regardless of gender or preference, anything like that. That's what I immediately thought of.
Yeah, that was
as
what
a relationship.
I thought of too.
But relationships can encompass so much more than that. It can be your mentors,
peers.
Your peers, your friends, your parents or guardians, your mm-hmm. online community, because we're going to have an episode on social media, networking.
And just people who view your art in general,
uh-huh.
whether,
uh-huh.
like you said, whether it is online or in person.
Yeah. So now that we've defined what a relationship can mean, I think it's important for us to talk about our experience with different kinds of relationships that we've had, so people can understand that in a field like this, where your schedules might be very irregular and the hours are so demanding of you, of course, any profession, like, I'm not trying to downplay anyone else's career or field and say that one thing is harder than the other. But when you're working a 9-to-5 job, you have your afternoons, you have your weekends. Or as an artist, your income is always going to vary.
Your schedule is always going to vary.
And you're often doing three or four things at the same time. And you're managing yourself. Whether that means like your business, finances, scheduling, all of that. So there's a lot of time constraints and there's a lot of pressure as an artist. And those pressures often bleed into your relationships with other people.
So, like we were saying, or like you were saying earlier, like, I can think of so many times that my friends have come with me to the studio and then they just, like, sit and, like, wait for me to get out of the studio.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a big thing because, like, you were saying, like, our schedules are always different. We have, like, two jobs. We're in the studio. We're supporting ourselves on the sides. And so, like, that was, like, one of the things that I'm so grateful for, that, like, my friends were willing to do that, to just, like, sit and wait for me to be done with my work. And maybe they not even, like, be working on something. But, and, like, you know, you were in the studio for hours. So that's, like, one of the things that I'm grateful for my friends who maybe don't make work but are still supporting my work in that way. Mm-hmm. Also, like, when I was in school, obviously, when I was in school, like, I was, like, talking to a lot of people. Sometimes I would have some flings. I would, like, meet up with some dates. But if, like, those things didn't go well, that would affect me. That would affect me, like, at school, or I would, like, tell my friends at school, and, like, I would have, like, a bad day, or, like, because something didn't go well, or, like, I had a bad date, it would make me, like, angry for the next few days, or, like, just upset that, like, oh, I had, like, potential in a person, or potential, like, dating in a person, but, like, we didn't get along, or so forth. And then, like, that affects your work as well.
Do you feel like being an artist and having these irregular schedules, like we mentioned before, is harder when you're trying to date other people? Like, not even just, like, if something doesn't work out and you're having a bad day, but do you think that it's difficult for someone who's not an artist, let's say, like, you start dating someone who's not an artist, to understand your schedule, to understand and respect that time?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's been an issue for you?
Yeah, definitely, because they're like, I guess they think, like, why can't you just get it done in school or while you're in class?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, I have to prioritize my work. And it's like, I'm sorry, I can't just study the night before for a test, because I don't have tests. I have, like, critiques, and I have to have 9 drawings done by the end of my, like, semester. And, like, you might think a drawing will only take maybe an hour or less than an hour each, but in reality, drawings can take a minimum of what, 6 hours? Like,
mm-hmm.
And that is, yeah, each. And so I can understand how people, like, don't understand. I think we've gotten comments, like we said in our previous videos or previous episodes, that, like, some people, like, who are like, oh, I could do that if I wanted to. Those kinds of people might not understand.
Mm-hmm. I think also it sometimes feels like it never ends. That when you're making art because you don't have a set schedule, whether you're in school or out of school, you're making your own hours in the studio or wherever you work from, that when other people are trying to see when you're free, it's like, oh, are you done with that yet? Or now that you're done with that, like, can we go do this? And it sometimes the work never ends.
Yeah.
The work never ends.
Or you have multiple projects.
Yeah, or you have multiple projects. So it's not just like, okay, this thing's done, now I can go play and have free time and do whatever I want. It's like, it's something that's always on your mind. And we've talked about having guilt as artists when you're not working on stuff. So sometimes it can be hard in that way too, where I feel you might not be giving your 100% time or attention to someone else because you're distracted thinking about the studio or what's next or an upcoming project or anything like that. I know there were several relationships that I wanted to talk about in my experience. So the first one would be with my boyfriend, because we started dating maybe like after my first year. We just hit our 4-year anniversary a couple days ago, and it took me 5 years to finish school. So yeah, like around my sophomore year of college, we started dating. And at the time, my workload was much less intense. And my schedules, I mean, it was hard, like working on projects, they were time consuming, but it was also much less demanding because mm-hmm. it was like basic design 2 and drawing 3 and, you know, it just intro level courses where I could spend more of my time with him, or even if I was working on a project, it was like skill based. Mm-hmm. So he would sit with me in the kitchen and I would be downstairs working on my project till 3 in the morning, and it was kind of fun. But as those studios got into upper division and I started to become more concerned with my work and my ideas, one, it's hard to work when you know other people are waiting on you. Like, I didn't feel comfortable being like, okay, like, I'm gonna be home working on stuff, you can come over, because I would feel bad, one, that he's kind of just sitting there watching me or sitting there on his phone. And I would feel distracted, like, okay, let me go ahead and take a 15-minute break, spend that full attention with you, and go back to it. Like, it was just, like, a weird dynamic that would happen. And I know that if I were to go to his place to hang out, there would be no work done. Like, we would just be distracted. We would watch TV. We would go do something. And in that way, it was really hard, because then you have to make tough decisions that, okay, I can't see you this week. We're going to have to wait till next week. What days do you work? What days do I work? When is there a gap where we can see each other? And that does cause, in my relationship, some strain later on, like, not in that first year or even the second year, I think, but in the third year, I think we were just hitting some rough parts where both of us felt, well, maybe he felt neglected, mm-hmm. and where I felt upset that he couldn't understand why I was doing this, because he's not an artist and he's not involved in the art world or community. And even though he knew that I was in school and he knew that I was working, it's still like a very different and difficult thing for people on the outside of it to understand. And for me, I felt, why can't you respect that I'm working and I'm trying to get my degree and I'm trying to do my apprenticeship, and sometimes I'm not going to be able to see you, or I'm going to have to put this thing first. And for him, it was, and I can understand, like, especially now, like, if I were on the receiving end of that, it's, and like, you're not, like,
yeah,
you should be, he is a priority of mine because he is my partner and he is someone that I love dearly, and you do need to make time for those things too. So it's a very difficult balance. And thankfully we've kind of worked it out since then. But now that I'm out of school and I'm still working, and I'm working many more hours, and I'm trying to do the whole tattooing thing still, and we're doing this project, and our work schedules are so different, it's becoming to not be an issue, but it's something that I'm going to have to start thinking about more consciously now, and really being strict with my schedule and establishing those times, because I would hate for him to feel unsupported, neglected. Unloved, neglected. Like, that is a terrible feeling, and that's not what I want for mm-hmm. someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in a relationship like that, like, even if something else might be more important or the task at hand, like, I don't know. The big thing is, like, communication so that other person also understands, like, what your timeline is, what needs to get done, what your goals are. And so that was one of the first things that I wanted to talk about. I don't know, for you, Sarah, if you wanted to talk about your relationship, because
yeah.
you are dating someone who is also an artist
uh-huh.
and is familiar with the programs
yeah.
and the time and the schedule.
Yeah, but mine is a much younger relationship. Haven't even hit the year yet, so I don't have anything on your 4 years.
yeah. Oh my god, nothing on this.
Yeah, a much younger relationship, and yeah, he's also an artist. We met in printmaking and whatever.
How romantic.
Oh no, we didn't meet in print. I don't even know how we met, but we, there's like, whatever. But this half, now that we're in a relationship, we were in a print class together, and so we kind of had similar schedules. Aside from me working like 2 jobs and school, he was at school, and so we got to see each other at least a few times a week in class and spend that time together in class. That's not responsible, but we did a little bit. Just a little bit, not too much. I think that's something that I really appreciated about that part of our relationship, where if we were working, we would stay out of each other's way. I would respect his time and he would respect mine. And we often knew that we had to stay at school late. I think there were a few times where he was taking his ceramics class, and I think one time we stayed until like 1 or 2 in the morning, and where was I living? I think I was already living here. Yeah. I was already living here and I could easily just have walked home, but I was like, I'm too tired. And so I just found a bench to sleep on, but he was there working.
But that is part of your relationship, you know, yeah. And it's like part of like you sacrificing maybe your time to sleep or your time to work to be with him, even though he has to work.
Yeah, that's something that kind of came up in my mind a few times when we were together, is that the only times we were together is like during class or school when we were just working, and a lot of the times it wasn't just us being us with each other, it was just us doing something for school or class, not really enjoying each other's time, which we get to do now since we're in summer. And I don't know, I felt like even if I was doing my best to stay out of his way, I was still in his way, and it felt sometimes that he was in my way because I was trying to do things and he would bother me sometimes. He listens, so hopefully, yeah, he knows he bothers me sometimes. But and I do feel like we butt heads sometimes when it comes to like art making.
That was like a question I was gonna ask you. Yeah. If you guys kind of like are extra hard on each other or like critique each other, or
if that's something you guys even talk about at all, because
I mean, we have I'm like having a hard time remembering because it's so far behind. But yeah, we have talked about each other's art and how to make it better. I know I've helped him with a few compositions and like how to organize things and how to like I felt like I've helped him like keep going, but just like, I don't know, I guess keep going.
Yeah.
I
we're
felt
just
like
encouraging.
Encouraging if anything, because he has a very good what's it called? Go-to attitude and just figures things out. Him, for me, I feel like he does help me out with, I mean, I'm a figure things out kind of person too, but not only that, he helped me out with using things that didn't work before, like really, really didn't work, and then bringing them back to life, like trash that I haven't even like touched before. He would like constantly use trash that he didn't use, that he I don't know, I'm like having poo brain right now. Just we work so similarly too. I mean, visually our work doesn't look the same, but we do work in a similar way. I don't know, it's still a young relationship, but I've had other relationships with another graphic designer before, and
they were also a printmaker too, right?
Also a printmaker. But that one was a little different, like with any other relationship. I feel like I just had to find someone that really understood the way I worked and how I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had dated an artist doesn't mean automatically it's going to work.
Or that they get you.
Or that they understand or get it. Because maybe that person understands, but they still want a lot more of your time. And that's not time that I had. I don't know.
Well, another thing I was wondering is, like, do you guys ever get, like, competitive, or?
To my knowledge, no. I don't feel like that. I feel like it's more, even with him, like, towards me, that I've gotten into, I got into a Cholo show, like, the gallery dude asked me to be in it. Like, it felt very encouraging, and he went to the show and he was very supportive of me, took pictures of me in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, it just feels very supportive. And like when we talk about our futures, like going into MFAs or residencies and stuff like that, like, we are a very young relationship, but we have talked about MFAs, and we don't talk about, like, oh, we have to be together, we have to, like, go to the same place. It feels more like what happens, happens, and if we go to the same place, cool. If not, then that's fine as well. The only time that we've talked about, like, waiting for each other, kind of, that he kind of brought up was me graduating, because I've had to change my major. I can no longer be a double major, so that would mean that my graduation date would be this coming fall. And he made a comment where, this is getting to me. Well, he made a comment that I don't want you to be waiting for me to graduate. And I mean, I feel like that's very understanding of him, and like, I don't know where that's gonna go.
Yeah,
I'm gonna graduate, so we'll see where that happens. But I mean, it's a very young relationship, and I feel like we're in a good spot where we communicate about school and art, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that'll be fine.
That's like another thing, like, I've, like, even now when I'm not in school or that I'm out of school, like, when I've tried to talk to people or, like, you know, chat with, like, other people and start, I don't know, like, we're just talking, there's been times where it's like, oh, well, I can't today because I'm in the studio. And they're like, okay, how about tomorrow? I'm like, okay, well, I can't tomorrow because I'm at work. Or,
yeah.
And, like, I just don't understand how you guys do it. Like, I'm not in a relationship right now. I'm, like, currently single. But, like, even now when I'm out of school, like, and we have, like, these projects and I'm in the studio and I'm working, I'm still like, oh, I'm sorry. I'll be in the studio this day and I'll be at work this day.
Yeah.
And we'll be recording this podcast this day. So it's like, I can't call you. I can't text you every day of the moment, or, you know, and I just don't understand how you guys do it. Like, I can only imagine, like, how hard it is to balance everything. Like, it's already hard enough for me to balance the things in my life. And that's me being selfish. My personal things.
Yeah.
But to also think about or consider another person's feelings, like, that sounds like a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And that's just, I don't know, I can only imagine how hard it is for you guys. Like,
it has been stressful sometimes, and it has, like I said, like, I've had my issues with it, but
for me, that's why a previous relationship ended. Because, I mean, from other reasons, but a large reason was because I just did not have the energy to put the amount of, I don't know, just to give the time to this person that this person deserved. And I was very stressed out with school, with especially work. It just, having something else to worry about was just not what I wanted, and sometimes it just doesn't even work out. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like that's gonna touch on another topic that we're gonna talk about, is like just respecting decisions and stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
what about like friends or mentors? What do you guys think? Or like, do you guys have any experiences that you want to share?
I mean, in terms of friends, it's sort of the same thing where, like, you, like, with my boyfriend, there's already so little time for my parents or my sister or Michael for us to do things that there have definitely, I have turned down so many, like, plans. I can't go out after work, I can't go after school, I can't go get drinks, I can't go meet you for food, we can't hang out, or I'm busy, don't come over, or I can't go over. And I have had issues with friends in the past where they'll straight up tell me, you're not being a good friend to me, I feel like you don't care about me, I feel like neglected also in this friendship, and vice versa. I've had friends who are totally understanding of it, who are also busy doing their own things and understand that I'm balancing so many things at one time, and who are so respectful of my schedule. And they're like, when we hang out, we can hang out. And if we can't, that's cool. And when we do, it's going to be so fun. And like, for me, I'm always like, oh, it gives me something to look forward to when we finally hang out. We're going to have so much to talk about and so much to catch up on. And it's, like, going to be so exciting and fun. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to relax. We're going to enjoy each other's company. Versus feeling like it's a chore that you're like, if I don't text this person every day, they're going to get upset. And if I'm not messaging them all the time, they're going to be mad at me or something like that. And that has happened to me in the past. But, I mean, I don't know. What about you guys? Like, with your friends? I think Miriam has, like, some of the most understanding friends.
Yeah,
that,
like, I don't know. I like, it was such a hard time during school because it was, like, the only time I could hang out is if we were going to Starbucks because I had to work. And, and like, that was the only time I could, like, lend to them. And, like, I'm so thankful that they were understanding and they, like, let me work for hours on end. And I've gone to, like, parties, like, house parties and done, like, work. Like, I was working on, like, printmaking stuff. I've been working, like, I've gone to, like, get-togethers and I'll be working, sanding my medals. Like they've seen it all. They all know, like, I'll whip out my stuff. I'm not ashamed to, like, work. Like, it's, like, because those things were important to me and those things had to get done. But I didn't also want to, like you said, like, I don't want to, like, neglect them. So I try to find, like, a middle ground. But there was definitely some times where I was like, I'm sorry, I can't. I have to work. Like, this is important.
For me, friendships, to begin with, I'm a very, like, reserved person, so yeah, I may have a few acquaintances and stuff, but like friendships that I dedicate time to, like, y'all are it. I mean, I do have
it.
Yeah, like, you're the closest friends that I have that I see on a regular basis, but I do have very close friends who I see maybe like once or twice a semester. She's very understanding because we've always had very opposite schedules. She's busy with, I met her through church back when I used to go. This was, like, maybe when I was 12. And because we met through there and we saw each other, like, in a different light, like, more in a family light, she's more of, like, a family member to me that I can come back to. And it's like we never stop talking or did. I mean, we check up on each other every now and then, but she's the friendship that I can think of, that I don't see often. But it's like we never stop talking. With other friendships, since you guys are in it with me, like, you understand. Like, if one of us is in a bad mood, we're like, wait.
Yeah. I'll just stop texting now.
Yeah. Or, like, even in class when, I mean, I feel like I would distract you a lot this semester.
No.
But you were sewing, so I was like, you can talk and sew, so
yeah,
it's fine. But
I'm a multitasker.
But it's just, I don't know, like, the friends that I have are in the art department because, again, I really don't have an outside life other than school and work, and I used to work on campus, so the people I would work with
were already in school.
So there's a very small ocean of friends, but I'm more than glad with the two that I have in front of me.
You better be. Yeah. I think, like, another thing, like, not only is this, like, about, like, friends and people our age or, like, relationships, but also, like, the friendships or actually the relationships that we couldn't avoid, like, ones that have been with, like, our mentors or other peers, like, people in our class. Definitely, I haven't had always, like, the positive experiences, like, and I think we talked about this in, like, choosing and, or when we talked about some art school stuff.
Is art school necessary? One
yeah,
of the cons,
like,
was that your professors might suck.
Yeah, and, like, definitely I've had more than one that, like, maybe I didn't see eye to eye. Like, I'm lucky that I didn't have one that was, like, singling me out and, like, bashing all my artwork or all my work in general. But I've seen it. I've seen professors, like, ruthlessly, like, kind of, like, tear somebody apart just because maybe they don't like them. And I was like, that is definitely, I've seen favoritism. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I haven't experienced it, like to that level, to a bad level personally, but I've definitely seen it.
And you've been a favorite. I think all of us have been a favorite to a mentor or two before. And there is a little bit of guilt that's associated with that. Sometimes you feel like it's warranted because the class that you have, they're so disrespectful.
Yeah.
They're rowdy. They're loud. They're disrespectful not only of the peers in the studio, which is a bad thing. Like, that's... You want to have good relationships with your peers because they're the ones giving you feedback. They're the ones that are encouraging you. They might work with you for you or you for them. Like, you want to have good relationships with them, but they're disrespectful to your professors, and you see that attitude and your professors see it too. So sometimes I feel like it is warranted. It's not even like a favoritism thing. It's more of like, these students are my salvation in a classroom full of people who are not willing or ready to work hard for this sort of process. But there are classes where it's just like everyone's doing their thing, everyone's working, but you know that a professor will have a preference towards your concepts, your work ethic, whatever reason it might be, just you as a person, your personality, and the way that you guys get along.
And that's like another thing too, like I know I've definitely shown favoritism to other classmates because maybe I don't like somebody's work, or like I've definitely tried to keep more of an open eye now, but in the past I was like, their work, I don't understand it, so I'm just not gonna like it. Or like if they are like you said, like not showing respect, it's like, this is your degree, like you're paying for it and you're not taking a class seriously, so then I would not really like that person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's not really like seeing everybody on an equal plane. And so like, I know I've done that before too. Like,
yeah. And what about our relationship with our professors? I feel like both of you have had really strong relationships with Terry.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I got there a little bit later, but didn't start off right away. Not because we were like malicious towards each other. I didn't respect her. She didn't respect me, but just for my own reasons. But can you guys talk a little bit about your relationships with Terry or Kim or any other professors you might have?
So for Terry, I feel like I have a really great relationship. I've always felt Kim and Terry are like the parents, or like a very, I don't know, they're just very parently, or what's the word? Like parent-like towards the students. Like they go above and beyond to help everyone. Like they're not ones to show any favoritism, really. Only towards, like, I feel that way. Only towards, like, they show more positiveness to people who work very hard or...
Yeah, if they can see their effort.
It's more like that.
Yeah.
But with Terry especially, I right away bonded with her. I don't know, because she's probably, like, my same height. I just felt like she could be a second mother to me. I've cried in front of her. She's consoled me a few times. I've come with her with a few problems before. I mean, through my artwork, that's something else. But with Terry, I feel like because I had such a great relationship with her, I was able to grow more because I was a lot more comfortable with her, to talk to her about my work, to get feedback from her. I was more adept to that. Kim, I also had Kim, and like I feel very comfortable with both of them, but I've always leaned towards Terry a bit more because it felt like she understood where I was coming from better than where Kim was coming from. And I think that's just from like
being more empathetic.
That and gender, like female issues, where I don't know, maybe I was just not comfortable. I've never been comfortable with like male superiors to begin with. I've just always been cautious about that. So and there's nothing wrong with Kim. Like, it's just internalized from like birth. Like, we should never trust older men. That's it.
Yeah. For me, I think it was because I saw people who were in the later classes. Like, I saw them, like, talking to Terry one-on-one, having long conversations. And I was like, I want that. Like, you know, I want to have a relationship with my professor, and I want my work to grow. And that's when because I'm very, like, I think I was also, like, very shy. Like, I didn't really talk about my work. I didn't really talk to anybody. And but during that period, I decided to reach out more. I think that's when I started going to like the Rubin shows more often. That's when I started going to Glass Gallery more often. And just, like, even if I don't talk to somebody in particular, I still would go to support their show or, like, go for the opening. And, like, that was one of the best decisions I made, was to open up to Terry, even if it was not just about art, my drawings, but just about my personal life, so she can see where I'm coming from and, like, maybe the deeper concepts within that. And Terry has... She will, like, ask you the questions that you don't know the answers to about yourself. Yeah, so it's like, great. Oh, I'm not sure. And she really makes you think about your work and about yourself and who you are as a person. And I'm glad I was able to open up to her. And I really do feel, like, a personal connection. Every time I see her, I don't want to, like, interrupt her because she's talking to somebody. But I always make sure to say hi just to see, like, because I do care about her. And with Tom, with my painting professor... It was a little bit different because he's so hard-headed. And I love Tom. It's such a he's done so much for me. Like, he's offered me that studio space. And, like, sometimes we don't see eye to eye. But, like, he is there. And he tries so hard to help his students, especially the painting students. He's always trying to show us artwork. He's always trying to show us how to get into a university or how to get into an MFA program. He's always telling us, if you need me to look at your statements, I will look over them. Like, send me your statements, work on your statements. He wants us to succeed because that's just what he wants. Like, he does a lot, and I think a lot of people don't see it because they see his, like, facade, and, like, he's very intimidating, I think. But Tom has really done a lot for me as well in different ways. Yeah.
I think for me, and this is just, like, how I've always sort of been, is that I view people in power, and not, that sounds weird. I see, like
authority?
Authority figures. I think it's just kind of like how my dad raised me. Like, you be very respectful, you keep your distance, you do what you're asked, and that's sort of it. And so I'm very intimidated by authority figures. And I also feel like because they are authority figures, there's no relationship, like no real relationship that I can have. Because I feel like either a burden or a joke, or just kind of, like, not really worthy of a relationship with people who are higher up. Like, it's just, like, a weird thing that I have. Like, I just don't feel like people who are high up will, like, just care. Like, I'm just a young kid, and I don't have much to offer. And, you know, they do this with everybody. They're really nice to everyone. And so for me, I didn't let myself be open to a relationship with them because I did just feel like, okay, like, well, she's my advisor and my professor, but she also has to talk to 100 other students right now. So, like, let me just take as much. I think it's kind of like a space thing, like where you want to take the least amount of space as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt in my relationships with my professors. Maybe it's like a guilt thing, maybe it's like a shame thing, maybe it's just probably like a bunch of insecurity, not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy enough of that time and conversation. A big thing, like I mentioned, about respecting your authority figures, but keeping your distance, being respectful of boundaries, not overstaying your welcome, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always very aware and apprehensive of my time with others because I feel like for them it's gonna be like, okay, you've been here long enough, like go on, you know. And they're not like that at all. Like, they're wonderful people, and I'm much closer to them now, of course, especially in my last year and a half. But I didn't believe that we had that relationship just because I felt like, well, that's their professors, that's their job, this is how they have to be with everybody, which yes, is true in some ways, but also, they can become very close to certain people, and they can want to be in lasting, you know, relationships or connections with other people. But I have a lot of insecurity about that, and I have a lot of self-doubt about myself too. So I think that's just why, like, I don't I guess it's just I feel like a bother or a burden to people. And I have felt like that in my friendships before. Like I bug people too much. I've told you that. I think I've told both of you that. Yeah. Like, where I'm like, I feel like I'm just whining all the time, or I just tell you guys all my problems, or I'm not, like, a benefit. I guess it's the thing, like, you're not friends with people for the benefit, except for that you just enjoy their company and you guys get along. But for me, I'm always like, what use am I to someone else? And if I'm not useful, then they don't want to be my friend. If I'm not funny, I'm not entertaining, I'm not doing this, then what is the value that I bring to that relationship? And so with most relationships, that's why it takes me such a long time to come to terms with where I'm at with people, because I'm so, like, always evaluating my position and space in relation to them.
I think when you just said it right now, it just, like, popped into my head. Like, I know, like, when I'm texting people sometimes, I'm like, hey, do you want to hang out? And, like, everybody says no. It's like, oh, I'm a burden. Like, oh, like, people don't have time for me. Like, I've definitely been on that end as well. I know right now we were talking about being too busy for people, but I've definitely been on the other end as well, where it's, like, just people are busy. And it's, like, they don't have time to hang out with you all the time. But when they can't, it makes you feel bad. It makes you feel like you are not worthy, like, of a friendship, or maybe they don't want to hang out with you because they don't like you, or so forth. And it's like, that's not always the case. It's probably not the case at all. It's mm-hmm. because I've known my friends, and, like, they just have things that they need to do, or they can't, like, mentally, or, like, it's exhausting for them. So that's, like, another thing.
Yeah, like, you hit it right on the nail with the, even with you guys, I feel like I have that same thing you have, where, like, if I'm not of use, then what use am I? And I remember I used to be, like, super insecure with you, Miriam. I was like, oh my gosh, she's, like, so good. But, like, what? And I just found myself, like, annoying. And I was just like, I just take up as little space as possible. Yeah. And, like, get there and leave real quick. And I feel like, I mean, if y'all didn't like me, you would let me know, or you would not be here in my apartment.
It's so easy to read me. Like, when I don't like people, and people make fun of me all the time, like, my coworker, like, if I don't like somebody, they're like, damn, like, I never want to be on your bed. I'm like, I'm sorry, like, I can't hide my emotions.
Yeah, like, same with me. I don't even bother talking to people. Yeah. Or I'm very snarky.
I'm not good at saving face. I can't.
I think that can go into the relationships we've had that have not worked. Or, like, the relationship with peers that we just have a problem with. I don't know if we, like, spoke about this earlier, but, like, I can think of a few critiques where someone just rubbed me the wrong way, or where it was, like, a constant confrontation between this person and me.
I can think of a few for you.
Yeah.
One, like, specific male.
Yes, but the thing with that was that, no, I'm trying to make an argument for myself. I'm going to say it. He was being very rude to the people he was speaking to.
He was a very rude person.
Very rude. And
condescending.
Condescending, and really did not take the other people into consideration. And me, being the person that I am, I stood up for them as best as I could. And he would then kind of, like, snap at me, or kind of try and belittle me. I did not take that. And I think that's also why Terry
would laugh in the background.
Yes, she spoke to me about that. And she's like, I enjoy seeing that. Like, she really found it not funny, but just, like,
entertaining.
Good for you. Yeah. Like, that I'm able to stand up for myself and my peers against someone that was being very inconsiderate and belittling.
I think, like, another time that, like, for us, when we, like, grew closer together, is when we had that critique with Megan. And, like, I think we all were, like, you know, we're breaking down. We're talking about our work. I think we all cried. Like,
I didn't.
Like, well, I didn't. We almost, I teared, like, yeah. Yeah, I cried. And, you know, like, afterwards we were like, oh, I didn't know you felt that way. Or I didn't know you saw uh-huh. your work in such a, like, a, you know, you're not positive about your work. And it's like, that's not how I feel towards you. Like, I love your work. I love your effort. And, like, we're talking to each other afterwards and, like, really uplifting each other. And, like, that is such a strong, like, that moment. The bond. Yeah, the bond yeah. really grew at that moment. I feel like
that's
moment,
when
yeah.
it really cemented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even...
That's so crazy that yeah. you were still in school. Like, that feels like it happened so recent, but that was already...
Like, 2 years
yeah.
ago.
Like, yeah, 2 years ago.
Wow, time flies.
Mm-hmm. I love our friendship.
We've been through so much together.
And we've all helped each other through so much. I think you guys have helped
no,
me.
No, yeah.
You helped me, yeah. Even if I don't directly say you guys do. I can think of a friendship that did not work out or where I was... Like, to me, I still don't understand what happened. But I was completely shut out of this person's life abruptly. And, like, he and I had a very, like... Like, we were in the same thinking space. We could help each other. We critiqued each other. We really connected within our artwork. But I think that goes to what I was alluding to before, where some relationships, even as good as they may seem, just do not work out sometimes for one reason or another. And at first, I was, like... shocked. I was very hurt. I was like all these things. I wanted to know why. What did I do? How can I fix it? Like, I really valued, I still value this person very much, but I have to respect this person's decision. And if I was I don't even know what to say, because I don't know, but if this person found this friendship not so much beneficial, but not what's the
positive
word? Not
for
positive
them
for them or something, or could not go along with a friendship, then I have to respect that. But I guess, are we going to give tips on how to keep friends?
I don't think so.
I can't.
Yeah. I
don't know.
It's just
sometimes things work out, sometimes things don't, but I still enjoy the time that we had together. And yeah.
That's all you can do. You
yeah.
know?
With any relationship.
Yeah.
You just be as honest as possible and communicate as openly to each other and be perceptive and understanding of where each person might be coming from at that mm-hmm. moment.
Yeah. What about, have we talked about family? Like, how families respond to... For those of you that are not in this room with us right now, everyone kind of looked away. And
uh-huh. I
mean,
I think for me, I have two sisters and a brother, and then my parents. And we always grew up very close. My parents have always been very supportive of whatever we wanted to do, as long as it was something that we were happy. And as long as we got our degree, essentially, like, just go to school, whatever makes you happy, we'll support you. Even when they couldn't give me everything I needed, it was always about the emotional support and availability and, like, respect towards one another. And I'm very lucky that I have, I'm close with all my siblings, but I have my sister Sammy, who is just 14 months younger than me, and we grew up doing everything together. And... she's a musician, she's a singer, she's going to school for opera, and she wants to do music pedagogy, I think is what it's called, and which is like all the technical training to prepare your voice and all those things. Like, she's brilliant, talented, smart, funny, charismatic, beautiful. She's the whole package, guys. And we're very close, so I've always had her, and she's always had me in moments where... I needed someone to talk to, someone to support me, someone to give me feedback. And we're just like each other's resource. And she is one of my best friends. But I think both her and I can agree that for as supportive as my parents can be of our choices at times, they don't understand, and we don't really feel comfortable, and not even comfortable, but we don't feel a desire to talk to them when we have problems, or I don't know how to say, like, they just grew up with completely different circumstances, of course. You know, like, my mom immigrated here to the States. They didn't let her pick up where she left off school in Mexico when she moved here to America. You know, they all had to learn English when they moved here. She had to start working right away. She lived in a very small and maybe not so extravagant area of California. She had to work really young. She had to take the bus everywhere. Like, things were really tight. And my dad, you know, just their experiences are so different from us that they can't relate and they can't empathize with our situations or our feelings sometimes. And so I know Sammy and I have definitely had instances where we want to open up about why we're upset or why we're stressed, why we feel overwhelmed. We need help. We need this, whatever it might be, because they cannot put themselves in a position to understand how anything that we might be going through is hurting us or causing us pain. Or, like I mentioned earlier, what I might complain about, my mom only sees as opportunities because they were things that she did not have. Therefore, she doesn't see, like, she can't understand where that feeling is coming from. And I understand that. Like, and I respect that there is a disconnect there. And there is a lack of understanding. And I don't hold her at fault for it because that's just the way that she grew up and that my dad grew up. And there have been times where, you know, we try to say something to my dad about what's going wrong with our lives or where we feel like we're falling behind. And he turns it into, what did I do wrong? Why didn't you tell me that I was doing all of this wrong? Where did I go wrong that I didn't offer you X, Y, Z, or I wasn't supporting you this way? He turns it into a him problem versus just hearing us out and saying, well, what can we do now? It doesn't even have to be problems. I almost never say, you raised me wrong. You didn't do this for me. It's more like issues with school or feeling, you know, Sammy and I have definitely dealt with feelings of fear of missing out, missing our friends back where we were, where we're from. You know, we moved around a lot, or feeling like, oh, maybe I missed out this opportunity and I should have gone to school somewhere else. And it's never even really directly related to our family, but my dad will make it about that. He puts the blame on himself and he gets really upset. And then it's like communication cut off. Like that's it. That's the end of the conversation. And for my mom, I think it's just tough for her, like I said, to... She cares and she knows that we're upset, but she just doesn't understand how to help us through it. And sometimes you can't. You just need to be the ear that we talk to and the ear that listens to us. Mm-hmm. But
it doesn't always work out.
Yeah, and I think I have a great family. So yeah. Like I can understand for someone who might not have as close of a relationship, you don't have that to fall back on. I know even if they don't understand, they love me and they care about me and they'll do what they can for me and they're there. I won't talk to them about everything. I don't feel comfortable talking to them about everything or even what my art is about, but I know they're there.
Yeah. I mean, for my family, I have 12 brothers and sisters. So I have 8 brothers, 3 sisters, all from the same parents. I have 2 parents.
A mom and dad.
A mom and dad. I think since I started this journey that is art school, I've become more and more separated from my family because I was going to school super early in the morning because I had to take the bus to school. I'd be up before everyone was up, and then I'd get home just in time for everyone to already be asleep. And that really put a wedge between me and my family. And I feel like with them, I'm the first one to graduate from the family. I'm the first one that has been to a 4-year college school, a university. And I'm the only one that has, my sisters show artistic stuff, but like the only one that is going...
Like, actively pursuing
actively going to school for an art degree. Because I have younger brothers now that are in school as well, but they're not going for an art degree, so they their hours are a bit different. And they... I remember there's, like, a whole thing where my brothers were able to be at school a lot longer, or not at school, at home much more time, and I was
coddled, perhaps?
Huh?
Coddled?
Well, I mean... I think that goes without saying that there will always be like a an advantage they have because they were boys.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking more like they were able to be home more because they did not have to work two jobs on the side. They would just go to school and go home and be home for a lot more time. And my mom would be like, well, why aren't you home more? Your brothers are in school, but they're also home a lot more. And not really taking into consideration that not only was I going to school, I had to be in the studio and have two other jobs to be able to do what I'm doing. But I mean, that's as far as that goes. The not being able to understand the amount of work that I'm putting into my future and the amount of time that takes. I'm really stressed out the relationship I have with my family, and now I moved out, so I hardly ever see them as much anymore, but I think things have been better because they understand a bit more what I'm doing. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have, like, any family. That's it. Just kidding. I don't, like, talk to my family. And I think a lot of it, like, we also have, like, very different schedules. Like, I think everyone in my family has a 9-to-5 type of job. And, like, I don't. So, when I come home, like, later, it's, like, a nuisance for them.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, oh, I'm opening the door. I'm making, like, a mess. I have, like, all these things I'm taking home from the studio. And that is, like, something I don't think they understand. It's, like, just because maybe, like, I start my day later than yours and you start your days earlier than me doesn't mean I'm not working as hard. And we hardly, because we have different schedules, like, we hardly see each other, like, at home. And so I think they think, like, maybe I am not doing anything, like, or, like, that I'm just, like, staying home all the time. And so, like, that is something I don't think they understand, is, like, how I use my time. One thing is, like, that they don't really, I don't really tell them about, like, the projects that we're working on. So for me to be, like, well, I'm working right now, I'm doing something right now, they're, like, no, you're not. And it's, like, yes, I am. Like, just because I'm not working at a job doesn't mean I'm not working on a project or not working for something for the future. So that's something that I don't think, like, we really, like, see eye to eye. But I have invited, like, my mom to, like, my shows and stuff. And so, like, there she'll see, like, some of the work that we've done or that I've done. Like, my solo show and our painting show. Other things. Yeah.
I think it's just safe to say that in this career and in this pursuit, relationships with anyone can be overwhelming. And can cause stress and friction, but you know, we've been able to maintain our friendships. I've been able to maintain my relationship. These things, they're possible, but it's just stuff that takes work, that you're
takes time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess
amen.
Understanding.
Amen to that.
And a lot of understanding, even if
yeah.
things don't work out.
On both ends.
Yeah.
On both
mm-hmm.
ends.
Yeah.
I think that's all we really wanted to share with
yeah.
you guys today.
Yeah, hopefully you guys can relate. Or
hopefully
maybe
we weren't too much of downers. But that is just the reality of, like, our experience and our situations. And I'm sure we're not the only ones who have struggled with this before. And
we won't be the first
won't.
And we
yeah.
won't be the last. And I hope you guys take solace in this and know that you're not out there alone. We're with it right there with you guys. And, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. And we hope to have you back next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.